We started a series a few weeks ago in evening church, on the Lord's Prayer. But last week we had an interruption, which was a glorious one because we had some baptisms. And so I've lost a week, and so that's why I'm going to do this one here. And then tonight we'll carry on the series in the evenings. Jesus is giving us a model prayer here. And he's really teaching us how to pray. I don't know whether anyone's ever sat down with you and said, you know, this is how you pray. But Jesus is actually doing that. And it's a wonderful prayer that he's doing. And his introduction to the prayer is all about, you know, look, it's not fine-sounding words and it's not great long prayers that count. But words really do count, but they really got to come from the heart. That's what he's talking about. And this is a prayer that he wants to establish in our hearts. He doesn't want performance. He doesn't want performance prayers. But he wants this to be established. And he starts off with these wonderful words that we saw a few weeks ago, in the evening at least, that God is our Father. Therefore, we can actually come to him very confidently. We can speak to him confidently as a child comes to the Father. But he's our Father in heaven. So we speak to him reverently. And then he's our Father. And so we speak to him together and about each other. It's not just a selfish thing, prayer. It's for each other. And it's a wonderful thought that God is Father. I mean, most people, if you think about it, that have got any power at all, are surrounded by security guards and, you know, all kinds of PAs and secretaries and scrambled telephones that you just can't get near them. You try and ring Obama up. You see what happens, you know, you won't get anywhere near him or even our Prime Minister. You won't get anywhere near them. But God is our Father. You can walk into his presence as a child comes into, you know, a father's presence and talk. And then we're told to hallow his name. And we learned there that actually we are to be asking about this first. That his name be holy and honoured in our lives and in other people's lives, that people would know something about his character, because that's what his name means, his character, his person, and they'd see how wonderful he is, that he is a Father God and loves to be a Father God, that he is a joy, that he is life, he is full of truth, he's full of kindness, he's full of beauty and wonder and greatness and power and authority. And we pray, Lord, would your name be hallowed in my life, in the life of people around me, in the life of this town, Kingston, and the life of this country. And then we come to this sentence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. Martin Luther, the great reformer, called this a very dangerous prayer. He said it's really dangerous. I'm sure he said it in German, but he said it was really, really dangerous prayer. And so what I want to do this morning is to look at this dangerous prayer. And I want to look at this dangerous prayer from just a few angles. They overlap, but I want to make this point very simple, really, this dangerous prayer. So here's my first point. Praying this prayer with the kingdoms of this world in mind. Praying this prayer with this world, this nation, the kingdoms of this world in mind. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all know, I don't have to spend much time on this, but you only got to pick up the newspaper to see what a mess this world is in, don't you? What a complete mess the kingdoms and the rulers and the nations of this world are really in. I mean, children being tortured to death by the people that should be protecting them. Something wrong with this world, isn't there? Children who should be being cared for being taken over to Switzerland to help them commit suicide. You'd have thought parents would help their children not commit suicide, wouldn't you? It's a messy world, isn't it? Authorities that are given powers to help abused, failing in their ability to do that. Corrupt, greedy, stupid people that are at the heart of our economy. You know, ruining things. Banking systems, financial systems, run by corrupt and stupid people. They haven't learned lessons of past history and think they're bigger than the lessons and fail us. Serious alcohol abuse amongst young people. Serious drug abuse. You know, so much so, people are saying, where are we going to be in a few years' time? Serious. People trafficking. The awful thing that we thought we'd got rid of the slave trade, but it's big in this country as we people traffic. As it only costs £15 to go to a prostitute and do what you like with her. So cheap. Wars, rumours of wars. I mean, it's a really messy world, isn't it? I mean, I don't have to remind you of that, really. So you just got to pick up the paper. And so we're constantly, and have you noticed this, desire a new king or a new leader, whatever we call them, a new ruler. You know, someone who could rule fairly and with justice and have the power to be able to bless us, perhaps materially. Someone who can fix the world's problems. We're constantly crying out for someone new. He couldn't do it. Let's have someone new. And it's just so interesting, isn't it, when you read the papers about Barack Obama. It's just, I mean, I fear for the bloke, really. I like him a lot, actually. But, you know, he's like the Messiah, almost. And he stands before crowds. I mean, have you ever seen so many crowds of people that have come out to hear him? And the things that people are saying about the poor bloke. But the trouble is, world rulers and world's kingdoms always fail us. And so will he. He's only a human. But you see the desire in us for someone to replace a failure. It's constantly there in us. But the trouble is that even the good ones, if you look back in history, either go bad or they just can't deliver. Malcolm Muggeridge, anybody remember him? I knew you would, Paul. When I wrote that, I thought, Paul will know Malcolm Muggeridge. Amazing, but he was an atheist journalist, and then he became a Roman Catholic, and I think probably a genuine Christian from the writings that I've read of him. I think just a phenomenal understanding of sin, actually, that he came to. One of the books I read of his many years ago. But he was a journalist, and he was full of hope, back in the early 20th century. And he went to Moscow in 1930s, and he said he had to face the realities of Moscow. This is what he writes. Listen, he says, "How marvellous the Russian Revolution seemed when it happened. It was marvellous. It was the answer. A little bearded man wearing a cap, Lenin, had taken over the vast empire of the Tsars on behalf of the workers and the peasants. Got rid of those horrible, kings and people that were living in luxury, making others poor." Yeah, this is what's happening. It says, "The words of the Magnificat had been fulfilled. Certainly, the mighty had been put down from their seats and the humble and the meek exalted. And now I had to face the unpalatable fact that the humble and the meek, thus exalted, had become mighty in their turn and were fit to be put down." That's what happened to Lenin. Anybody read the story Animal Farm? I bet you Paul has. Yeah, I knew he would. Animal Farm is an amazing story. You should read it. I mean, have we forgotten Animal Farm? Great story. You can get it out on video in cartoon if you can't be bothered to read it, but it's not hard to read. And it's a wonderful story because here's this farm run by a horrible farmer who keeps the animals, down and abuses them, and he's horrible. And then there's a revolt. The pigs take over. Good old pigs, they're wonderful. And they kill the farmer, quite right too. And the pigs are into fair play. And, the sheep are bleating out, two legs bad, four legs good. Two legs bad, four legs good. We've got rid of the nasty two-leg animal. But the pigs start to say, well, look, we've got to run this show. We ought to go into the farmer's house. We need to be special, And I think we might sleep in the farmer's bed. And actually, I quite like... And they begin to walk on two legs. And they change it on the wall, don't they? So the sheep are so thick, they said, I'm sure it's something's different. They were bleating, two legs bad, four legs good. And if I remember the story right, and this is all off the top of my head at the moment, they looked at the wall and the pigs had changed it, but the sheep couldn't quite get it was changed. They weren't quite sure, and they started bleating two legs good, four legs bad. And the pigs were in charge, and they're the same as very clever. This world is always a failure in its ruling. You go the other way. Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other forms that we've tried from time to time. The enemy, you see, of politics is ourselves. Until we understand that, we're going to always think wrongly. And our kings and our kingdoms and our rulers and our nations can only ever rise as high as frail humans. And that's why it's so important to pray this prayer. Do you get it? Your kingdom. Your kingdom, God. Your kingdom come. Your will. Not Barack's. Not Brown's. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is what we need. He's altogether a different king. He's a leader that we know, if you read his story, is utterly selflessly giving. He's altogether different. Look, here's a passage from Isaiah, a passage that we read at this time of year very often. Listen to it. Just listen to the power of this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called. Here's a governor ruling, and we're going to call him this, not out of sort of, you call him that or we're bludgeoning you to death. We're calling it because he is this. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end to peace under his rule. He will reign on King David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's what's going to happen. That's why we pray, your kingdom come. We long for justice. We long for rightness. And only Jesus can deliver it. And when you look at him on this earth, you see his wonderful kingly rule in relation to demonic oppression. He conquered the demons and the evil. In relation to sin and failure, he forgave people and gave them assurance of his love. In relation to sickness, he healed. In relation to material needs, he provided. In relation to death, he gave life. In relation to war, he brings peace in the heart. So when you're praying this dangerous prayer, as Luther calls it, your kingdom come, we're praying Jesus rule. You're the only worthy ruler. We're looking forward to a day when that comes. It's a looking forward prayer. Our Father, you have placed the most magnificent king over your kingdom. A kingdom where racism will be banished. A kingdom where races will be reconciled. A kingdom of peace. A kingdom where the oppressed get justice. A kingdom where the hungry are fed. A kingdom where the marginalized are respected. A kingdom where the sick are healed. Because you've placed this king over this magnificent kingdom to come. And because we love you, our Father, and because we're citizens of this kingdom, we want to see your kingdom show up here on this earth. We want to see your love and mercy worked out in our lives and within a community within this world called the church that can express something of the grandeur of your kingdom. Because of that, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It's an amazing prayer, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. When I started writing this, I sort of the thought that went through my head is, can that ever happen? Can that ever happen? Can heaven ever really be on earth? When I look at the world and read the newspaper. You know, can the earth ever be tuned in to the harmonies of heaven? Can that ever happen? Are we too far gone? And then I had to say to myself, hold it, Pete. Hold it. The same creator who created heaven has created earth. Why can't every part of the great Creator's creation become equally radiant with his glory? Why can't that happen? Surely he can remake this earth. Surely God has said in the Bible that he will bless the earth because of his son Jesus, because of King Jesus, just as he cursed the earth because of the fall of Adam. Surely he can do that. And then I read in the book of Revelations that it shows us that the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of his Christ and of our God. Revelation promises that. And then I read this morning Romans chapter 8, and it says this: the creation waits in eager expectations for the sons of God to be revealed. Listen, for the creation, this world, was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it to it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Listen, we know that the whole creation has been groaning. That's where we're living at the moment, as in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. But what happens when a woman starts groaning in pains of childbirth? What happens? A birth happens. And here we are in this world and we're praying, your kingdom come. Is it a dream? No. It will be a reality. He will take all of the pain and wipe it out. He will take away the tears and turn them to joy. The king is coming with this glorious, wonderful new kingdom where justice and righteousness and peace and beauty reign forevermore. That's what we're praying when we pray this prayer. Do you see that? It's a big one, isn't it? We can't just rattle that out. Our Father, trust in them, they'll be their name, thy kingdom come. It's not, this is like, wow, hold it, slow down, man. The last line of the Bible is, do you know what it is? It's this prayer: come, Lord Jesus. Come. And this prayer reminds us, we'll never find full satisfaction in this world. It reminds us that this world is not our home. It's a prayer with a future perspective. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. That's one angle. Got it? Secondly, praying this prayer with Satan's lies in mind. Praying this prayer with Satan's lies in mind. There are two kingdoms on this earth: darkness, light. Satan's gods, death, life. You know, you can put the two kingdoms in those camps. Lies, truth, sin, holiness, disobedience, obedience. So to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is to pray for an absolute reign and a putting down of Satan's lies, and that God's kingdom would beat down the false, dark, satanic kingdom. We're told in 1 John chapter 5 that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's a phenomenal statement. It means that there's no aspect of life that we know, no aspect of life that you've ever experienced or ever could experience in this world, that Satan, that the devil, that the god of this age, as he's called, that the prince of this world, as he's called, has not managed to get his grubby, lying, filthy, perverted hands on. Even though we're told this earth belongs to God, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, nevertheless, there has been this occupying demon. We're living in occupied territory. And so there are two kingdoms, and there's war going on here. And praying this prayer, we pray this prayer with Satan's lies in mind. It's very interesting, actually, that the word kingdom in the Greek is basileia. And experts think that it could be translated, or it should be translated, kingship, kingly rule. So you say, your kingly rule come, your kingly rule be done. I think this means that when we Christians pray this, we're praying that people will become Christians. Save them, Lord. Save them from the kingdom of darkness and lies and death and destruction and the God of this age. Save them, Lord. And the way that you honour your name, the way that you hallow your name, surely would be that men and women and boys and girls and young people would come and know you as their king, know you as their God, and love you and honour you as they should. We pray that Satan's kingdom would be depopulated and God's kingdom would be repopulated, that they would be born again, that they would be saved, that they would be rescued. See how powerful this prayer is? Your kingdom. Come, open blind eyes. Deal with the lies of Satan. You see how dangerous this prayer is? Because is that your passion? Is that your passion to pray that people, when you go out into Kingston, are you realizing the spiritual battle that is going on and the lies that are being cast? We should pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, would you save people? Do we really pray like that? Do we take this prayer seriously? This is a very old story about a man who worked in a munitions factory. And they used to have, in those days, lunch breaks. And all the blokes, 500 blokes in this factory, would get together and they'd eat together. But sometimes some of those blokes would discuss things and argue. And there was an atheist there. And he put down Christianity as a bunch of people that are hypocrites. He said, all Christians I've ever met are hypocrites. And he went on and on and on throughout the lunch break until a Christian, Bill, stood up and said, hold it. Yeah, we do fail, but, you know, I am a Christian. And I want to say that, you know, I go to a church and, you know, I don't think we are a bunch of hypocrites. And that is exactly what the atheist wanted. And he said, hold it, Bill, before you sit down, let me ask you some questions. And this is how it went. I would like you to answer some questions. I take it what you have said to us is that you believe the Bible is God's word. I certainly do, said Bill. I believe it from cover to cover. Then, do you believe that all men out of Christ are lost and on their way to outer darkness? Yes, said Bill, I do. Do you think that most men here in this munitions factory are outside of Christ and therefore lost? Yeah, boys, I'm very sorry. Indeed, I actually do believe that. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Yeah, I do. Many times I've seen prayer answered in the past. How long have you worked here, Bill, with us? 4 years. How often in that period have you prayed for us lost souls to be rescued? Ever spent a night in prayer? A half a day? An hour? What are your prayer meetings made up of? Do you pray for us? I'm sorry, said Bill. I cannot ever say that I've given more than a few minutes praying for you. See, said the atheist, you're hypocrites. All of you. Your kingdom come. We pray that, surely, with Satan's lies in mind, for the lost. Don't we? If we believe it, we do. Thirdly, praying this prayer with ourselves in mind. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, when it comes to praying, and we'll pick on this a bit more tonight, and it's actually very important tonight, that praying for our daily bread. I think it's an amazing little passage. But your kingdom come. You know, a lot of our prayers are really about ourselves, aren't they? Instead of praying, looking to the future kingdom coming, instead of praying about people that are tied up in Satan's lies, a lot of our prayers are really for our own comfort. I read this week. It's a poem by John Benjamin, written in the war. It's called In Westminster Abbey. It's fairly offensive, but let me read it to you. Gracious Lord, oh bomb the Germans. Spare their women for thy sake. And if that is not too easy, we'll pardon thy mistake. But gracious Lord, whate'er shall be, don't let anyone bomb me. Keep our empire undismembered. Guide our forces by thy hand. Gallant blacks from far Jamaica, Honduras and Tongaland. Protect them, Lord, in all their fights, listen, and even more protect the whites. Although, dear Lord, I am a sinner, I have done no major crime. Now I'll come to evening service, whensoever I have time. So, Lord, reserve for me a crown, and do not let my shares go down. Now I feel a little better. What a treat to hear thy word, where the bones of leading statesmen have so often been interred. Now, dear Lord, I cannot wait, because I have a luncheon date. We may not be as crude as that, but I bet you we really are. The me prayers. You know, I don't mind what happens to, in the credit crunch, what happens to them over there, but, you know, bless me. Me, self-indulgent. You know, I get out of bed thinking, I don't know about you, but I get out of bed thinking what I'm going to do that day, and I rattle off prayers saying, bless them. Bless my little plans. Are your prayers like that? You see, the trouble is we mustn't rely on ourselves, because we are a race that are really, really rebellious, and we're constantly pursuing our own plans and our own dreams in our own strength according to our own rules. And so Jesus in his kindness says, be careful when you pray, because this is what I want you to pray. You need to pray your kingdom come, your will be done. And it's a radical change in your life and in your system and in your thinking. It's an affront, that's why it's dangerous, to your selfishness and to mine. That's why Jesus is saying you need to pray this prayer. Lord, would you, says Jesus, this is what we've got to pray. Before you ask for a whole load of things, even your daily bread, actually, before you even ask for that, Lord, would you align my will with your will? Would your will and my will be inseparable? Would heaven be here on this earth, in this little bit of real estate here, in me? See, it's a very, very dangerous prayer to pray this. Because when you see Jesus praying, not my will, but yours be done, what happened to him? He went to the cross. I can't pray for God to fix this world if I'm not willing to pray God fix me. I can't pray for God to bring justice in this world and love and peace to the nations if I'm unwilling to align my wills with his. I can't pray for people to come out of Satan's lie if I will believe the biggest lie of all, which is I'm in control and I make a better God than God of my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It challenges me. And that's why Jesus in his kindness is saying, hey, this is a prayer to pray. I don't know about you, I need to pray that prayer. I need to pray it. Because the default mode is to pray for God to bless my plans. Fourthly, praying this prayer as a lifestyle in mind. Pray this prayer with that future idea of that wonderful kingdom. It gives us a future perspective. You pray the prayer knowing that that he is the best one. And the people are listening to Satan's lies, and would they come out of it? You pray the prayer for ourselves in mind, but you pray the prayer for our lifestyle in mind. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will on earth. So often we discuss it, and so often we pray about it, but he wants us to pray it into life. That's why we pray it. That's why he's given us this prayer. I mean, again, default-wise, in my lifestyle, it's, who do you think you are, God? Don't you really have that? Who do you think you are? God? I'm God, aren't I? I mean, when it comes to lifestyle, I'm happy to pray that prayer, but when it comes to lifestyle, don't you touch my lifestyle. I'm happy to do all the religious stuff and say all those words and look very Christian-y, but when it comes to my day-to-day living, Don't you think you're God? Go away. I don't want my life changed. Your kingdom come. Change my life. Your will be done as it is in heaven. As our brothers and sisters are in the presence of God. Aren't we in the presence of God? They dwell in the presence of God. God dwells by his Spirit in us. So why can't we pray this prayer? The same Spirit that is with them in heaven, so that they are called being in the temple of God. We're called the temple of God that God lives in. The same Spirit that led Jesus to say, "Not my will, but yours be done," is the same Spirit that lives within us. The same Spirit that teaches us to say no to unrighteousness, as the Bible says, and yes to righteousness. He's working within us. This prayer gives us confidence that actually he, and with his help, we can fight the good fight of faith. We can press on. We can live a little bit of heavenly real estate here on this earth. It's a marvelous, confident prayer that he, who is with them there, ruling perfectly, is with us here. We pray this prayer that our life would be different. I was going to get us to read out, but perhaps you could do it at home. And I haven't got your version and I haven't read it, and it's always hard to read that version. But I was going to read, just get us to read out Colossians 3. Just have a listen to some of it. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated." This is the prayer. "At the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For Christ died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature." You've got the power. You're sitting there at the right hand of the Father. He sent his Spirit within you. Put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality. Any of you into that stuff? What's he like on the web? Put it to death. Heaven on earth in front of the computer screen, please. "Put to death impurities and lusts and evil desires and greed." Are you greedy? Put it to death. "Which is idolatry." And so it goes on. Amazing. It's a prayer to say, "God, in your power, change my lifestyle." So what's this prayer do? It makes us look forward or look up. A perfect new kingdom is coming. It gives us a hope. And it says this world is not our home. It makes us look around at people and see they desperately, desperately need rescuing. It makes us look within and say, whose agenda am I really working for and dreaming of in my life? It makes us look out and say, how do I want to live? How am I going to live a holy life? It is a powerful, wonderful, dangerous, life-changing prayer that I don't know about you, but I need to pray every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, please, please. Father, make it so. Lord, help us with this. Help us to want to pray this prayer. Forgive us, we've rattled those words off without really thinking. Help us to pray by your Spirit. Amen.